Sweet. Looks like we're live. Hey, everybody. It's the Android Headline Show. Tonight is Thursday, April 23rd. Tonight is going to be episode 105. I'm going to be joined by Alex. You want to say hello to everyone?
What's up, everybody?
Yes. So tonight we're going to be talking about a bunch of new stuff, including Google's Project Fi or Fi or however you want to say that, the Xperia Z4, which finally got announced, the LG G4, which is about to be announced, and then we have a little giveaway for the G3 VR. So we'll go ahead and talk about that at the end. We'll go ahead and jump right into Project Fi or Fi or whatever anyway. So this is effectively short for Wi-Fi, I guess. And that's because this thing works a little differently from most carriers. Google basically has been working on this for a while now. We've had a bunch of rumors talking about, you know, maybe Google's going to be jumping into this, maybe they're not. It made a lot of sense, though, since they already do Google Fiber. So this thing runs mainly off of over 1 million public Wi-Fi hotspots. I guess Google just has some sort of database for this. I assume they probably collected this thanks to the Wi-Fi scanning that they've had on Android for quite a few versions now.
They actually said that they verified or like certified each hotspot that it'll connect to automatically to make sure they're
nice.
Fast and I think they said secure. It might just be fast because there's the built-in VPN, so the secure isn't as big of an issue.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I know when I first saw it was working off Wi-Fi hotspots, I'm thinking, well, that might be okay for calls, you know, or I don't know. Some people would definitely be wary of that. But yeah, it uses a special VPN encrypted connection. So, you know, it's not just unencrypted data going through this thing. It's everything on there is going to be encrypted. It's going to be secure. They're basically guaranteeing that this is a safe way to do it. It'll be just as safe as a cellular network. The nice thing is that if you're not in a place with any of those hotspots, it will use either T-Mobile or Sprint's networks, depending on what is going to be the better connection. I guess, just depends. I don't know if they're going to do just speed or actual, you know, how many bars you have of connection, decibels, whatever.
I think they're probably do signal.
We'll see how it goes. But regardless, you have to have a Nexus 6. And this is because Google not only built the Nexus 6 with practically every radio known to mankind in it, but it has a really nice little way to switch off between Wi-Fi and cell data. So I know this is one thing that was talked about before the Nexus 6 came out. And I think it was more in reference to carriers like T-Mobile and I think it's U.S. Cellular that has the other Wi-Fi calling.
It's Sprint.
I know them too. But there's one other carrier that I'm thinking of. It's a smaller carrier.
I don't know, but they have a service. I haven't heard them announce it. I know T-Mobile had it for years, and then Sprint put it out, and T-Mobile started making fun of them.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter necessarily who it is, but there's a smaller carrier out there that has been kind of doing this for a while, where it switches off between Wi-Fi and cellular data, and it does it without disconnecting you, which has been a problem with, I know, at least T-Mobile's when I've used it in the past, where if you're on Wi-Fi and you walk out of the building and it loses the connection, oh, there goes your phone call. You got to call them back. So this should prevent that from happening. It should be able to switch between them seamlessly without you even having to do anything. The other problem, though, besides having to have a Nexus 6, is that it's invite only for now. So Google is doing what they like to do with a lot of this stuff. It's not going to cost you any extra, obviously, to get an invite, but you will have to be signed up with that and get an actual email so that you can sign up with your account. I think a surprising thing about this announcement was the rates specifically for data. So $20, you get unlimited talk and text. And then for each gig of data, you add $10 to your bill. So the nice thing about this data is that you can tether off of it, although I don't know how much you really want to tether based on, you know, having 1, 2, or 3 gigs of data, but whatever. It's nice that they don't separate that. And the really cool thing is that, let's say you pay for 3 gigs and you only use 1 gig, they're going to give you $20 at the end of the month. So you only pay for the actual data you use. So they basically are encouraging people to, you know, go ahead and pay for more data than you think you might use, because you're always going to get that money back at the end of the month if you don't.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's an interesting concept. It seems like if you use more than 1 gig of data, it might be better. You might be better off going with like Cricket, or one of the other MVNOs out there.
I think if you're in an area that you know, Sprint has okay coverage, T-Mobile has okay coverage, or like they don't overlap. Some areas where you go, Sprint is pretty good. Some areas you go, T-Mobile is pretty good. It'll be good for those people, but for me personally, it's not going to be good because I can only use it on the Nexus 6.
Yeah.
And like right now, I'm not even using my actual phone that I pay for every month.
Yep. Yeah, and that's probably the biggest problem.
Yeah, I have my SIM card in another phone right now that I'm using.
Yep. So
that's the biggest reason why I can't do it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've looked at the coverage map in particular. I was kind of surprised by how good the coverage is. Like, if you look at the state of Florida, for instance, it seems like almost the entirety of the state of Florida is covered by an LTE network, which, knowing Sprint and T-Mobile's LTE coverage, I didn't expect that, especially not, like, there are some places where I'll go traveling, and there is no signal. Not even Verizon has a signal, and it's saying that there's LTE there, so I don't know. I don't know if they're just counting the hotspots or what the heck they're doing. But
yeah, I think they're counting the hotspots. Because I didn't see them, like, you know, separate LTE from the Wi-Fi stuff.
Correct. 3G. Yeah.
So I'm thinking
I didn't notice anything on there about that.
Just coverage, you know. And they're just Wi-Fi hotspots, you know, everywhere. Every Starbucks, every Burger King, every McDonald's, every... pretty much everything.
Yeah, and I guess they figure, you know, if it's a good Wi-Fi hotspot, it probably has close to what you're going to get on most LTE connections anyway.
Yeah, depending on how many people are on there.
Sure. Yeah, you're always going to find your, you know, 80 meg LTE connections, which you may not find with a Wi-Fi hotspot somewhere, but whatever. That's not typical. Not yet anyway. So that'll be interesting to see that roll out for sure. You can go sign up for that now. You can go check the page if anyone out there is interested. You can have the Google Project Fi. Check out. We have a couple of articles on it as well, just kind of explaining it a little more in detail. So check those out. Sign up for it if you're interested. Check out the coverage map. You probably have coverage in your area. So cool. Pretty awesome stuff that Google's doing. The other thing that we've been waiting for a long time is the Xperia Z4.
Not that long.
Well, it feels like forever given the number of rumors, but I guess the Z3 just launched like 6 months ago, so whatever.
Yeah, it was announced September, but we had expected the Z4 at World Congress, and they gave us the tablet and said it's coming before September, and it came this week.
Yep.
But it's just a Z3 with a Snapdragon 810 for the most part. It's got a slightly smaller battery. It's a 2930 milliamp. Instead of, I'm pretty sure the Z3 is a 3100, it might be a 3000, but it's a little bit smaller, a little bit thinner. The Snapdragon 810, which I think I'd rather stick with the 801, especially after using the M9 along with the Z3.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, the front-facing camera is a 5.1 megapixel camera now, so it's a little bit better. But everything else, pretty much the same. Although they did get rid of that flap on the USB port, which is probably a good reason to upgrade.
Yeah, that's just definitely a good reason. And it is still waterproof. I know for a while there we saw rumors that it might not be, just because it's so thin. This is basically the same size as the iPhone 6, Galaxy S6. It's still waterproof.
Yeah, we saw with the Xperia M4 Aqua at World Congress that they could do the, the capless USB port and still do... waterproof or water resistant, because that one is water resistant. Well, the headphone jack hasn't had a cap on it for a few generations now, so about a year. there's rumors that there's going to be another flagship from Sony this year, and the Z4 is just going to be for Japan, which they did announce it just for Japan. They didn't announce availability for anywhere else, so I'm hoping it does stay in Japan and we get something better.
Yeah, it's outside of, I guess, the flap and it being thinner, it's really not, it doesn't seem like really an upgrade at all yet again. It just feels like Sony is.
It's kind of like a downgrade.
A little to no difference.
It's almost the downgrade because you got the Snapdragon 810 in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
as much as I love Snapdragon processors, man, that thing. I'll stick with my 801 and the Z3.
Yeah, pretty much. I would agree there.
I'll take an 805 over the 810, actually.
Yeah, the 805 is a beast. I think the 810 is probably being pushed so much just because of the 64-bit.
I think it's just it's also because it's just the ARM, ARM design instead of any special stuff from Qualcomm, like the 820 is going to have.
Yeah, I think the 820 is going to be a huge improvement.
Well, it can't be any worse. Well, maybe it could.
Well, you never know. You definitely never know. I guess, speaking of the 810, though, we have the LG G4, which is going to be announced in the 28th. That is supposed to have the 808, yeah. So the 808 is a hexa-core, slightly down-clocked version of, I guess, of the 810, if you will. Supposedly, they have done this switch out because of all the throttling and the thermal issues and all that with the 810. So literally having half the cores on the more powerful quad core. So it's got a dual core instead of a quad core. And then it's got the lower power quad core for your regular tasks. It's supposedly supposed to be about the same in terms of performance because it doesn't have to constantly throttle down the speed.
Yeah. Because the performance on the G-Flex 2, I was not happy with. I've said it before. I think HTC did a great job at working with Qualcomm on that Snapdragon 810 compared to LG, because the performance between the G-Flex 2 and the M9 are totally different. And the G-Flex 2 gets a whole lot hotter. And M9 is made of metal. You'd expect that to get hotter.
Yeah, exactly. So the G4 has a bunch of interesting stuff going for it, though. It's the same 5.5-inch size screen as the G3. It's quad HD, just like G3. However, it's a quantum LED, which 20% more improvement in color gamut, less energy, higher contrast ratio, et cetera, et cetera. It's basically supposed to be a considerably better panel. You got all your other regular stuff, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of internal storage. This one has a removable battery and a micro SD slot. So I guess take that, Samsung, but it is not as thin as the Galaxy S6 by any means. It's in fact 2 entire millimeters thicker, which
I don't care.
2 millimeters is, yeah.
I think the S6 is too thin as it is. I have heard that more. The Drake Turbo, I liked how thick that thing was. I think it was like, what, 10 millimeters?
Yeah.
Look at that big battery and the ballistic nylon on the back, but it felt really comfortable in the hand because it wasn't super thin. You know, the thin phones are comfortable to me. I'd rather have a thicker phone with a bigger battery.
I like the G3, kind of like, I'm sorry, the G3, the G4. I'm losing track of numbers here. Like how the OnePlus One has a curved back like this, and the G3 did, and all that. This has that too. And I like that, you know, give me a bigger battery, put a little bit of a curve on it to make it a little more comfortable to hold. I totally agree with the thin phones. I hope this is the last year that we see this crazy race for thinner phones on the bigger flagships, because it's just annoying.
Nobody
wants a smaller battery.
I wonder if LG will go with a bigger battery this time around, because it's like they've been stuck at the 3000, the 3100 milliamp since like the G2.
Yeah.
The G2 had crazy battery life, but the G3 wasn't as crazy.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the 2K display, but
that screen, yeah. Wasn't
the
good
G-Flex
for that processor.
The G-Flex battery was even crazier than the G2, but the G-Flex 2's battery was, man, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So,
I wonder if you can get it to like 3,500 or so. I mean,
it's possible. They're not making it thinner, so that's that's a very big possibility that they could just be fitting more battery in there, because that's what we've seen a lot, as these phones get a lot thinner and the battery only is a little bit less.
Because they do,
you know, so maybe
LG does like the step battery, so they try to fit as much into the corners as they can. I know a lot of other batteries, especially like the removable battery, like in the Note 4 I was holding up before, the battery is just like this square here, but when it's internal and it's, you know, it's not removable, which this one is, so it won't likely happen. But when it's non-removable, they'll go all the way into the corners, you know, push as much battery in there as they can. But with a battery, that's not as possible as it is with a non-removable.
Yep, and this one has wireless charging built in. I mean,
yep.
I shouldn't say all these. It has. It's rumored to, and we've had that crazy site leak, which basically confirms all this stuff. But we should technically wait 5 days for the official announcement to say it definitely has this stuff. supposed to have a really nice 16 megapixel camera, 80% more light input than the G3. The new UI 4.0. What's that?
I was going to say, I wouldn't doubt that their camera is pretty good, because even at 13 megapixels, it was really good with the laser autofocus.
They've had excellent cameras for two solid generations now. So their new UI.
The best part about the G Flex 2 is the camera, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I really wouldn't at all. Their new UI kind of builds on the old one. So what you see in I guess the G Flex 2 and, you know, the G2 and G3 updates is going to look similar here. It's just got more features. So they have like quick shot where you can double tap the volume down button and it'll take a picture instantly, which I know a lot of people seem to be freaking out about that because of creeper shots or something like that. So I don't know. We'll see how that sort of thing goes over. But I know on the Huawei Honor 6 Plus that I reviewed, they had the same thing where you double tap the volume down button and within like 1 or 1.2 seconds, it takes a shot. So I found that really valuable for, you know, if you're at an event or something like that and something happens real quick, you don't have to, oh crap, unlock my phone, go to camera, position it. You just tap, tap, done. And it's, there it is, your picture.
Yeah. So, that's one of the things I liked about Motorola's little twist thing for the camera.
Yes.
You know, you pull out your pocket, you can twist it while you're bringing it up. It to, you know, take a picture of whatever you're taking a picture of, and it's already there, and then just tap it and it's done, you know. Don't really have to waste the whole lot of time.
Yep. Yeah, and it's definitely better. I like the little draw circle on your screen on the OnePlus One, but the camera takes way too long to launch, et cetera. So these cameras that are launching a lot quicker are great. You know, the 1 second on the Galaxy S6 is friggin' awesome. You can check out more stuff on the site. We have a whole bunch of stuff on the G4, a little breakdown of what they revealed of UI 4.0. There's a possible dual SIM variant that was leaked, I think, today or yesterday. It's confirmed to launch in South Korea on April 29th. That's the day after the New York City event. And the price
is actually the day of, because doing in seven cities, and Seoul is one of them, and that was on the 29th. So it's going to launch probably later that day, or maybe later that day,
because it's in the morning. Hours ahead.
That's weird, because if they're doing it simultaneous and the one in New York is at 11, that would be 11 p.m. over there. That's weird.
Yeah, it is odd. Who knows? So that'll be, you know, middle of next week, it'll be available in South Korea. Price-wise over there, it's priced between the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. It's equivalent to about $825 here. It's about $30 more than the S6. It's still about $75 less than the Edge. LG was basically saying that this is supposed to be a competitor to the Edge because it's a more premium device. You got the leather on the back of it, all that stuff. So we'll see how that goes over for them. I don't really think it's wise for them to be pricing themselves out of the market, but whatever. Well, you know, that may change a few weeks after launch.
I love how they say more premium. They couldn't think of better words, just more premium. I don't know if it's real leather, if the back is real leather, I could see it, you know, costing $30 more than the S6, because, you know, was it the Moto X? I think it's $50 more with the Horween leather from Chicago. So that I could see that happening, but I don't know. Well, I'll see you Tuesday when I go and check out the G4.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a couple days away. It's not bad at all. And then we have the G3 VR giveaway. Do you want to go over that a little bit?
We're giving away a G3 and the G3 VR little kit or whatever it's called. The giveaway lasts till I think Monday night at midnight. It's a T-Mobile variant. It is unlocked, so you'll be able to use it on AT&T. But yeah, that's just the giveaway right there. We have another giveaway coming up next week that you'll want to check out.
Yeah, and if anybody out there needs more info on the VR, we have a review up on the site. It should be on the featured right on the front page. It's basically sort of like a fancy Google Cardboard. This VR just using your phone. So there's almost no hassle at all. Gives you a lot of possibilities, plenty of games and stuff out there that support it. It's a really cool little unit, especially, if you get it for free, why not? So,
yep. We also have the top 10 Chromebooks for April, which is the Toshiba Chromebook 2, the Asus C300, and if Chrome will let me scroll down to see the rest, the Lenovo N20P, which that one's one of my personal favorites because of how you can just, bend the screen all the way back. It's a touchscreen too, so, it's like the yoga tablets. The HP Chromebook 14. Man, Chrome is so slow. Some of the other ones we have on there is the Acer C720, the C720P, which is the touchscreen version. The Chromebook 15, which they just announced a new version today that's even cheaper. That's $199. So a 15-inch Chromebook for under $200. There's also the Chromebook Pixel, the Dell Chromebook 11. There's a few variants of that one now. There's the slower, I think, Celeron processor one. Then they have the Intel Core i3. And then there's a newer one that's a more rugged one that's meant for education, but is available to everyone. And we also have the Samsung Chromebook 2 on here. And that's all on the site, so you guys can go and check that out.
Yeah, and I tell you what, with the way I go through laptops, I'm very tempted to just get a Chromebook sometimes.
The 15-inch one, not the one I announced today, but the, I think it's the 249 model. It's a 1080p display. One I would definitely buy. 4 gigs of RAM, 1080p display. Hard to go wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I've said it plenty of times, but I know my family members that have them still love the ones they've had, and it's been a couple of years since they've had them. So they are great little machines, especially if you buy them with the right, things in mind. Don't buy it looking to play games on it. Although I suppose Chrome, you could if you really wanted to.
And Chrome works pretty well on it, I hear.
Yeah, well, when it's dedicated, that helps a lot. You don't have all that Windows or Mac other stuff getting in the way.
I don't even have anything else open. It's just Chrome.
Yep, me too. Okay. I have two windows open, show notes and Hangouts. That's it. So, thanks, Chrome. You are slow. But, like I said, Chromebooks are better, so whatever. So, unless you got anything else, I guess that about wraps it up for the night, huh?
That's all I got.
Very good. All right. Well, I hope everybody out there enjoyed the show. Next week, we're going to have some really killer content, including a guest who's going to be talking about pretty much everything AR, VR, including what's currently out, what's going to be coming out. So really hope you guys look forward to next week. We're really looking forward to talking to this guy that's going to be coming on. So we'll have a little bit of teaser on the site, and we'll let you know. In the meantime, you want to check us out on Instagram and Twitter as Android Headline without the S. And, of course, Google+, Facebook, and even on Pinterest as well. So have a great night, guys.